half at a time. Stay together. 60 minutes. Let's go. Have some fun. All right.
Let's go.
Welcome back to the Mike Tomlin Show. We're at the library on the south side on Carson Street. Eagles are one of those old-time franchises. They still have a fight song. It's called Fly, Eagles, Fly. It's actually kind of cool. When they score a touchdown, all the fans sing. There'll be no singing Sunday at Heinz Field. I think fairly certain in saying that. They've got a guy who can fly two ways. He can fly by throwing the ball through the air, and he can fly on the ground. We talk about the Eagles. We have to start with Michael Vick.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm very familiar with Mike. We're from the same hometown. Obviously, he broke into the league down in Atlanta. I was a secondary coach for the Buccaneers and saw him in the early years twice a year. He's a special talent. There's really nothing physically that he can't do on the football field. He's both quick and fast, and it provides his capability for him. He can create when plays break down. By design, what they do with Mike Morningwig's offense, they create pocket movement as well. It creates an added dimension that's tough to deal with. He has a quick release. He has a very strong arm. So the full field is still available to him as plays break down as he starts to move. It really stresses the defense. You have to apply pressure and contain him at the same time. And obviously, those are two conflicting words, but those are the challenges that face rushmen when you play Philadelphia Eagles in a Mike Vick-led offense.
Is he, he's 32 now, he's been around, is he a different quarterback in two different senses, Mike? Number one, does he stay in the pocket more than he used to? And the line on him when he was with Atlanta was, he really is not a very accurate passer. Has that changed? Has his willingness to run changed?
I think it has changed, and I think it's the natural evolution that occurs in any quarterback. He is more accurate than he once was, and he does tend to stay in the pocket more than he once did. I think those two things are hand in hand. It comes with maturity, it comes with experience, and you know, he's evolved over time and really made life increasingly difficult on those that try to defend him.
As a defensive coach, does it change the way you rush the quarterback? Do you have to box the ends? Do you have to make sure they have contained? And does that limit the kind of pass rush you can get on a guy because you have to be careful?
You know, I developed a mentality probably 10, 12 years ago in terms of how to deal with him, and that I won't allow it to dictate to us what it is we do or how it is we approach rushing him. But I will acknowledge that it'll cause us to think critically about the ramifications of what we choose to do. Because there are positives and negatives of everything that you do, and you better consider them when you're playing a guy like this.
And, of course, now he has had a running game, and it looked like, at least against the Giants, Andy Reid was willing to use LeSean McCoy. You know him very well. He was your next-door neighbor for a while. We all know him well. I think he's the best runner to come out of Pitt since Tony Dorsett. I mean, I think he's that good, and he showed that. What do you do with a guy like him?
You know, I'm so happy for Shady, to be honest with you. Obviously, our job is to stop him this week, and that's what we intend to do. But extremely happy for a young man. He's a bright guy. He's charismatic. He's hardworking. He respects the game of football. And let's be real, he's a guy that's really kind of coming into his own. He went to his first Pro Bowl a year ago. Looks like his arrow is still pointed up. He has the talent level and the pedigree, man, to be a perennial Pro Bowl type of guy. And I think his tape this year is displaying that.
Are you concerned about their screen game? Because he, in the open field, can be very dangerous.
Very concerned about it because he's a guy that can create a big space out of a small space. So obviously, when you get him in the open spaces that's potentially associated with the screen game, it's doubly troublesome. So we have to be very good in terms of recognizing and fitting up and minimizing the open space that's normally associated with the screen game.
Let's not forget the other side of the ball. Watching them play the Giants, and I saw them play against Cleveland, they're 3-1, and you got to give them credit. They've escaped with some wins, but that's a sign of a good team. It looks to me, layman, that they rush, play the run on their way to the quarterback. Is that a fair assessment?
They do, and that's not saying that they're disrespectful in terms of stopping the run. It's just simply how they built and how they function as a defense. They're an attacking, penetrating, gap elimination front like some 4-3 teams are. They build their rush around that. They constrict running lanes by vertical pressure, so they reduce the amount of horizontal field that offenses have to work on. And the linebackers do a nice job filling those vertical running lanes. And I think that's what made the acquisition of a guy like D'Amico Ryan so important. He is great at filling vertical running lanes. He is a good in-tackle tackler. They're playing to the strength of the guys that they have, and that's what any good unit does, offensively or defensively.
They've got excellent man corners. Asamoah will assume that he's fine. He came back into the game against the Giants. With that, do they challenge you and say, we're going to play press on you, and we think we can beat your best receiver?
They do. And, you know, that's one of the things that's historic Philadelphia Eagles and Andy Reid. I don't care if you're talking about Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor, or you fast forward 10 years or so to Nnamdi, of course, and Rogers Cromartie. They're both long guys. They're both adept at playing on the line of scrimmage. And not just that in terms of mirroring you, but they're going to challenge you. They're going to put two hands on you. They're going to try to disrupt you from a timing standpoint and from a spacing standpoint in terms of your passing game. And really have done a nice job at it this year. Opponents are only completing about 52% of the passes against them. Obviously, in the National Football League, that's not something that offenses are comfortable with. And it's because of the demeanor and how those guys play.
You've arguably got the best trio of wide receivers in the NFL. Other people may disagree, but we've seen how damaging they can be. Is that a challenge that you relish? And how do you beat that man coverage? They can't cover everybody.
You know, it is a challenge that we relish. And, you know, we got a very talented group, but also a very young group, one that's eager to prove on a week-in and week-out basis that they're some of the best in the league. So, obviously, this is a significant challenge for them. And I'll be poking and prodding them in every way possible to make sure they understand the significance of showing and proving this week.
Now, this is why they play the game. This is why we come to watch them. Best on best. That's a matchup you've got to look forward to. The Steelers wide receivers against the Eagles secondary.